This is the Big One, 700 WLW. Scott's all along till midnight tonight. Standing by, Matthew Hess. MGMBill.org is the website. And this bill would outlaw the circumcision of infant males in the United States of America. We've spoken with Matthew Hess before. I think tonight, going from the avian flu to circumcision of boys' penises in America is like the big medical health show tonight. Matthew, good to talk to you again. How are you?
Good. How you doing, Scott?
Outstanding. Have you found yet a sponsor for this bill?
We have not found a sponsor yet. We have found one representative in Congress who has indicated that he'll support the bill if the sponsor is around.
Mm-hmm.
But he said that he's got too many legislative priorities right now to go ahead and sponsor it himself.
Of all the stuff that is sponsored bill-wise in the United States Congress, why is this one not saving attention? Because it seems like something that should get an up or down vote, no pun intended.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that most legislators feel it's simply too controversial. It's too hot to handle because I think that most of them don't see any political gain from it, but they do see a political downside. So till more men speak out about circumcision, I think that that'll continue to be what happens.
Well, when you talk about the downside, that would be the religious aspect of it, because it's dangerous politically to go after something like this. And for most Christians who are circumcised, it's not a deal. But if you're Jewish, if you're Muslim, circumcision prominent in the Jewish community, it makes it look like you're somehow anti-Judaism, that you have some racial or some sort of a religious bias against this, and this is the reason why you're drumming this up.
Right, and unfortunately, that's the perception that's out there. But in reality, some of the most vocal critics of circumcision are, in fact, from within the Jewish community itself. And I think the reason for that is because, more so than other individuals, Jews have actually witnessed circumcisions at Brit ceremonies. And I think that politicians would do well to look beyond the religious aspect and look at the human rights and the health issue. Because it does affect so many men.
Yeah, of course, religious, you're going to always have a faction of people. Like for me, Catholic, for example, there's a small faction of Catholics that think women should be allowed to be priests, and priests should be allowed to marry, and that's never going to happen in the Catholic faith. But you always have people who are questioning the structure. This is a little bit different because you are talking about the circumcision of a male penis, some sort of physical act rather than a belief here, but it's along the same line.
Right. That's true.
And you're not, it's going to be difficult to find someone to sponsor this kind of legislation, although you make a very good case for it, and you equate this to a human rights violation, correct?
Absolutely. I think it's both a health issue and a human rights issue. Speaking to human rights first, it's really a matter of equal rights because it is against the law to cut any part of the genitals of a female, but that's not the case for males. Now, whether you're talking female circumcision, which involves only the removal of the clitoral hood, or whether you're talking about more extreme forms, or whether you're even talking about a pinprick, all of those actions are illegal, and yet that's not true for males. And we do have an equal protection clause in our Constitution that guarantees equal protection to all citizens. So my view is that the current circumcision laws are unconstitutional.
Well, when we outlawed female circumcision, and generally it's true, what you find in many countries, though, is the clitoris and labia removed, and the rest is kind of sewn together, allowing only urination to occur, and menstruation to occur, too, I believe. And so you have a lot more medical complications, though, with female circumcision as opposed to male circumcision. Now, the male sex organ will still work, and it'll still derive pleasure, which we'll get into a little bit, but with the female circumcision, it's more extreme, it's more radical.
Well, there is the type 3 circumcision, which has been the most widely reported, that is more radical because it does involve, like you said, the sewing shut of the vaginal walls and also the removal of most of the clitoris. But that represents 15 to 20% of all circumcisions worldwide. The vast majority of them are only the removal of the clitoral hood, which is similar to the male foreskin, and also occasionally the removal of the labia and part of the clitoris. And that is very similar to male circumcision because the foreskin does contain thousands of erogenous nerve endings, and it is the most sensitive part of the male penis. And when that's removed, male sexual function is greatly diminished. So the two are far more comparable than the public has been led to believe.
Yeah, so if you're a male, you're saying you lose sensitivity by having a circumcision?
Absolutely.
Well, wouldn't that be considered by many a good thing because you're kind of you're prolonging ejaculation, which is always like the goal?
Well, by saying sensitivity, I don't necessarily mean that it's so sensitive that you're going to immediately ejaculate. Sensitivity can be measured in different ways. The more nerves you have, the more you're actually able to control when you ejaculate. And this has been shown in several studies that have been done on circumcised men versus intact men. Because you have more nerves, your body is actually able to sense more and control more when to ejaculate. So that's actually a misperception.
All right. Again, Matthew Hess, mgmbill.org is the website. For more information, I'll log on to mgmbill.org. And right now there is no sponsor. Although someone's kind of leaning on possibly sponsoring this bill in the United States Congress, that would bring before the body as a whole a notion to disallow circumcision, to make circumcision legal, illegal in America. We talk about some of those benefits. Matthew, you have more time. Can you hold on for like 5 minutes? We'll get you on for a couple more minutes and kind of wrap up because we're running late there.
Sure.
All right, hold on just a second. We'll work some calls in, too, at 513-749-7000, pound 700, singular wireless, 1-800, the big one. But is it an issue of religious intolerance? Of course, that's why no politician in his mind would touch this. Or her mind would touch this, but when it comes to punishment and pain, you know, we allow spanking, we allow ear piercing, we allow these kind of forms of pain to be used against children, and even the ear piercing. I don't know why you need a newborn or a three-month-old her ears pierced, but that's a very painful procedure. And if you're going to disallow circumcision, is the next thing not allowing kids to have their ears pierced. Or, I don't know, having your kid get tattooed, as some parents like to do, on the other side of the river. So a lot of these questions, the MGM bill, should circumcision be outlawed in the United States of America? That and a lot more ahead after 11 o'clock on the Home of the Best Bengals coverage, 700 WLW Cincinnati.
You're enjoying the soothing sounds of the big one, 700 WLW.
Scott Sloan, the big one, 700 WLW. If you are a Christian, if you're a Catholic, as most of the Cincinnati audience is Catholic and or Christian, yet many of you will circumcise or have circumcised your children, your male children. Ever consider why exactly that is, why you go ahead and do that? There's no religious reason what to do it. There's no medical reason to do it. But you do it anyway, kind of like a lemming or something like that. Why do you circumcise your kids? Why do you circumcise them out? If you're Jewish, you know, if you're the Furman boys, you're expected to get clipped. If maybe you're Muslim, there's an issue there, but certainly not for the bulk of the listeners. Yet most males in the United States of America are circumcised. Matthew Hess, mgmbill.org is a website, male genital mutilation bill. And you've had this bill for how long now?
We submitted it twice, both in February of last year and the year prior. So it's been 2.5 years now.
And this would outlaw the circumcision of every male in the United States of America for medical reasons, because medically it's not good for you, and it certainly doesn't do anything to enhance you. As a matter of fact, if you cut the foreskin, does that kind of reduce the size and girth of your manhood?
Yes, it does. The foreskin is actually 15 square inches of penile skin. So that's almost 50% of the entire penile skin system. And again, in there is thousands of nerve endings, and it also serves to protect the head of the penis, the part of the penis that's left, and when you remove it, it undergoes a process called keratinization, which is a progressive hardening and buildup of callus. And this is why some men have been able to regain some of the sensitivity they've lost through a process called non-surgical foreskin restoration, which is pulling the remaining skin they have left forward so that they can grow new skin, a substitute foreskin, and reverse that keratinization process. So even men who have been circumcised can regain some of what was lost.
When we see a reduction, Matthew, in the amount of prescribed medicines like that treat sexual dysfunction in males, had there been a greater issue of less issue of circumcision in America?
Well, I'll speak for myself on that. I went to a urologist because I was experiencing a decline in sexual feeling in my late 20s. I was prescribed Viagra. I used it on a weekly basis until I learned of non-surgical foreskin restoration. When I was able to reverse that keratinization process, which took me about 6 months, I almost eliminated using Viagra. I use it very rarely now, but I reduced usage by probably 95%. So do I think that there would be a reduction in sales of Viagra? Do I think there would be a reduction in sales of lubricants? Yes, I do, because the foreskin has a function. It is a lubricating function, and it enhances male sexual pleasure.
So Johnson & Johnson, Pfizer, the big pharmaceutical companies, are going to wind up losing out on this if indeed someone in Congress takes this bill up and it winds up getting passed. But right now it's just a matter of finding someone again, second or third time, to take this bill and sponsor it, because many lawmakers, maybe pharmaceutical influences and lobby groups aside, are one thing, but it's a religious aspect that's something wholly different, because it makes it look like if you're a lawmaker that you're going after Jews.
It can look that way, but it really shouldn't look that way, because, again, this is really an issue that speaks to human rights and equal rights. I think they should really be thinking about the millions of men out there who may side with them if they decide to enact this ban, because now they're looking out for the men. They're looking out for a vast pool of individuals who have been harmed by circumcision, and I think that's better than looking out for what some people might consider special interests.
Why do we do it, Matthew? It makes no sense. Now, from a religious perspective, if you're a Jew, if you're Muslim, okay, it's a part of your religion, it's part of your belief structure, and that's why the lawmakers aren't touching. But for the vast majority of Christians in America and the Catholics in the listening area, it makes no sense to be circumcised out of birth. It's almost an afterthought. That you're born, you're male, okay, we've got to get you circumcised, and we move on and get your vaccinations and everything else. It's just a part of childhood America. Why did it get to that point?
Well, the truth is the world origin of circumcision is unknown, but in the United States, it was relatively unknown until the 1800s when it was brought as a supposed cure for masturbation, which at the time they believed was harmful.
Yeah, that worked.
And since that time, exactly, various reasons have been created to keep it going. There was penile cancer, there was urinary tract infections, and as each of these diseases came up, they were eventually discarded because the risks and side effects of circumcision proved to be greater than any potential health benefit.
Yeah, we know now that that the foreskin has nothing to do with penile cancer, which is pretty rare.
Right, it's extremely rare, but yet the complication rate of circumcision is even higher than the rate of penile cancer itself. So the reason that it's perpetuated is because there are a handful of very outspoken physicians who want to keep this going, because that's the business they're in.
Pretty lucrative.
Yes, and as well, I think it's very difficult for most men to really admit that they've been harmed in some way, that they're never going to experience what nature intended for them, and it's just easier to really buy into the common belief that circumcision is really just a little harmless snip.
Now, I would think it'd be more generational. Guys may now grow up and go, okay, this is a stupid process. It's rooted in ignorance. There's no reason to do this, yet many men listening maybe having a kid or have a small child that they just had the procedure done to, so they know it's wrong. They know there's no need for it. Medically, it's unnecessary. From a religious perspective, it's not necessary, yet they get it done anyway. Is it like a peer pressure thing then?
Well, part of it is peer pressure, especially from family members and close friends who have had their children circumcised. There may be parental pressure. But I will say that in the West, things are changing, especially because the circumcision rate is now below 35% in the Western USA, which is quite a change from where it was 10 years ago when the numbers were much higher.
Yeah, it was like 85% in the 1970s.
Right. And in Europe, Europe used to be a circumcising region as well. But the UK, for example, they used to have a high circumcision rate, is now virtually non-existent, except for some uncommon cases of religious circumcision. So really, the United States is one of the very few remaining developed countries left in the world who is still practicing medically unnecessary circumcision. And I think as more people become aware of it, the numbers will continue to decline.
Well, why is this covered in many health plans? Because a lot of, I call this a cosmetic procedure. It's medically, it's not necessary. Why would this be covered if you have OBGYN coverage, if you have a prenatal, neonatal care as part of your group health insurance? I know that in many cases, I think in ours too, that this is covered medically, that you can get it done. It's a covered procedure. This has got to be the only cosmetic procedure that's covered.
Yeah, absolutely. And this is one of the big battlefronts right now. Every year, there are a handful of states in Medicaid, for example, that announce that they will no longer be paying for medically unnecessary circumcision. Two-thirds of the states still pay for it. Taxpayers pay for it through Medicaid. But that number is decreasing annually each year.
And I think that as that number decreases, because now it's a pocketbook issue, I think people look at it and go, hey, you know what, I'm clipped. I don't give it much thought. It's included in the health care package. My son is going to get clipped. But as soon as you have to start paying out of your own pocket for that, I think that's going to help change attitudes a lot. Matthew Hess, MGMBill.org is the website. Still looking for a sponsor in Congress on this thing. And Matthew, we'll talk again sometime in the next year or so as you're checking in and see what progress has been made, if any, on this.
Thanks for having me, Scott.
All right, good to talk to you again, Matthew Hess, and 513-749-7000, pound 700, Singular Wireless, 1-800, the big one. We've got a few people on hold, but let me reframe this. Getting back to the religious intolerance thing, we allow spanking, we allow ear piercing, top of my head, things like that that are harmful to kids. There's no reason to have your ears pierced as a child. And mothers will get their six-month-old baby girl, get their ear pierced, sometimes even younger. And that is harmful to kids. But we have a bill here in need of a sponsor to outlaw male circumcision. You may recall how the Nazis outlawed kosher slaughter under the guise it was cruel. It's one of the first things they did. Unlike, you know, how they slaughtered animals themselves. They slaughtered animals the same ways, but they said that somehow that the kosher slaughter of animals in Nazi Jersey, Germany was wrong. It was harmful to the animals. And then, you know, what the Nazis slaughtered people and treated them worse than the kosher slaughtering that was going on. And that was a reason to go after the religion. It was religious intolerance. Is that what's going on here? I mean, we talk about the issue of outlawing this, but is there some sort of religious seed in this whole thing? I don't hear it in Matthew's voice, but many other people who are against this have taken up that cause. Now, why outlaw female circumcision? You outlawed female circumcision in the United States, but that's a lot different because it's more radical in nature. The clitoris, the labia, completely removed and sewn together, breast sewn together. You're only allowed to essentially get urination out of that, and a lot more complications as a result of that. And we shudder when we think of that United States. You think, what about female circumcision? And as chill runs down your spine, and you think of India, and you think of other underdeveloped nations where that kind of stuff occurs, and you think how backward it is. But we don't think anything of it to do it to males, to do it to our own flesh and blood here in the United States. So do you see it like is it a backdoor attack on religion to ban circumcision? Or because, well, you're a lemming. Man, I was a lemming. Everyone's circumcised, so you got to get circumcised. Medically, you don't need it. From a religious perspective, you don't need it. Then why do you continue to do it? If you have a newborn boy, one of the first things you're going to do here in Cincinnati is you're going to get the boy circumcised. Why do you do that? If for a religious reason, you don't need it, and if for a medical reason, you don't need it. Do you do it because you're worried about some stigma in a locker room? That when the kid is like 12, 13 years old, and he's walking around the locker room, he's not clipped, he's going to be ridiculed? Well, there's no shortage. I've been a boy for pretty much my whole life, almost my whole life. And I, of all the things you get picked on in the locker room, that may be one of them, but there's plenty of other material to pick on a boy in a locker room, other than whether he's going to be circumcised or non-circumcised. So if you're saying, well, I want him to kind of fit in, and what is he going to do? There's going to be questions, and everything else will be uncomfortable. That may be true, but think of the long-term consequences of doing this procedure. It makes no sense, and yet medically it's covered in a day and age where you're hard-pressed to find decent coverage for pretty much everything. They're looking to get out of paying everything because of the cost. This thing is still included. Lots more ahead. I'm Scott Sloan. This is the big one, 700 WLW. This is the big one, 700 WLW in Cleveland. Got a couple adopting youngsters with ailments like autism, fecal alcohol syndrome, HIV, pica, which is an eating disorder where you eat like dirt. 11 kids they've adopted. And authorities say there that they put the children in homemade crates. It's like some sort of Vietnam prison camp. They made crates for these kids, put them in there to sleep, put mattresses in there, and locked them in during the day at times when they said that the kids turned violent. The lawyer for the family says there's no basis for child abuse or neglect. These are happy children. That these kids were not abused, they were locked in cages. You make a case for penning unruly kids, but not to circumcise. It's split like 50-50 right now in this case up north that is largely followed because it's just so odd. And many people believe that the parents had unruly kids that they adopted to take care of them, and in order for them not to hurt themselves or harm others, they had to lock them in cages. So you're making a case for locking up kids. You talk about human rights violations. You lock kids in wooden cages and have them sleeping on mattresses on the floor. But when it comes to circumcision, when it comes to clipping the foreskin of newborn boys in America, like 50% of America's on, or 60% of America's on board with it. The current numbers we have, about 60% of Americans are clipping their boys. and not giving it any second thought whatsoever. You hear a story like that and you're horrific. Now, what's more harmful to a kid? I think long-term consequences, maybe cutting the foreskin off, seems a lot more painful. And putting undue stress on the child. And simply for a cosmetic procedure, there's absolutely no reason to have it done. Scott St. Bernard, you're on the Big One. Hello.
Hello, Scott. I was calling, I heard about this guy that you had on here. I was listening to it. I cannot believe your station and you even give this guy the time of day. To begin with, I'm Jewish, and this is about the most offensive thing I've ever heard.
Well, let's see. So you're going from the religious perspective that this guy wants it outlawed, and there may be some religious intolerance going on. That's why no lawmaker will touch it.
Oh, I'm sure it has everything to
absolutely
do with it.
Absolutely it does.
Yeah, I mean, this is absolutely, it's completely preposterous what he's proposing. There's absolutely nothing. He didn't give any shred of evidence to prove what he was spouting off, what he was spewing forth. And as for something he said with regards to the Jewish rabbis that were getting, quote-unquote, on board his little bandwagon and, you know, a circumcision, no Jewish rabbi would dare ever say anything against it. And
yeah, there's a smile. I don't have the, see if I have this here somewhere, because I had the name and it's a Jewish, it's opposite of Bris. Anyway, there's a small percentage of I don't know if they're Orthodox, the Jews, yeah, what's it called?
I don't know the name.
Oh, yeah, there's a small, anyway, it's a small, let me frame it for you. There's a small group of people who it's an alternative to the common bris where you have the moil come in and cut the foreskin off, and this is something a little bit different. But I made the comparison, like me, I'm Catholic, Scott, and it's like the percentage of people who are claiming we need female priests in the Catholic diocese. And I don't see a need for female priests or married priests for that matter, but the percentage of people who believe in that's relatively small, as I can imagine the number of Jews who believe that they should do away with the bris and circumcision.
I mean, it's just, it's so small, it's infinitesimal, it's just, I don't even know where to begin. It's just I can't believe I was hearing this guy.
Do you think it has more to do with religious intolerance than it does common sense?
I think it has to a certain degree. Yes, it definitely is religious intolerance. And I'm sure if somebody were to really investigate this guy, I'm sure this. I mean, they'd find some other anti-Semitic things in his background.
Yeah, maybe. I mean, I've had him on before, and I've never really gotten that. In looking at his website and everything, it doesn't really have anything up there like that. Now, there are the groups out there that are against circumcision, and they make no bones about it. The KK Kens of the world will tell you that this is done because of because the Jews run the country, and that's why you have to continue doing this in deference to the Jews. But this guy's not like that. It's not a religious issue for him. But if you're a Jew and you're circumcised, it is with you, and that's why you won't find a lawmaker to touch this thing. Rick, Tennessee, on 700-WLW. Hey.
Hey, Scott. I'm in disagreement on your position on it. If you talk to women, if you was to poll the women or whatever and please their partners, they would prefer the circumcised over the uncircumcised. The uncircumcised retains blood and can be unpleasant odors, and it's just harder to clean.
Well, you can do that, though, if you're circumcised, Mal. The study I'm looking at here, it's a widely circulated study. I don't know which one you're looking at. The one I'm looking at, there's an overwhelming number of women, but in the upwards of 65% who have had intercourse with circumcised and uncircumcised men in their lives, and almost by a 2-to-1 margin here, prefer sex with an uncircumcised male as opposed to a circumcised one.
Well, this is more of the oral stuff what I'm talking about.
I guess if you're not clean, well, look at it this way. If you're not clean down there either way, there should be no activity. So I'd say hygiene first. It may be a little more difficult to stay clean if you're circumcised, but from the sexual aspect, many doctors are on board that say, as far as health goes, it's an unneeded procedure. I mean, doesn't that kind of make sense? There's really no medical reason now in 2005 to have this procedure done, and we know that medical complications are part of any even minor surgery that goes on in America, and if you do something that's medically unnecessary, your risks are heightened. And also, we know that there's the sensitivity issue going on there, many other issues involved with circumcision of men. There is no medical reason to circumcise a male. There is no medical reason, unless there's some sort of disease or something like that. But that's extremely rare. From that perspective, though, if you do a procedure that's medically unnecessary, you don't need it for religious purposes, why do the procedure at all? And you're talking about a cosmetic procedure. that's covered by most major medical insurance plans. Where else in America are we seeing this occur? If you had to do it over again, clipped or unclipped, and if you have a small baby, let's say your wife is pregnant or your girlfriend's knocked up, and you're expecting a boy, are you going to go through with the procedure even though you're not a Jew? Your call straight ahead. Sex stands by with sports. Terry Lafferty with the news and more on the other side. The Big One, 700 WLW. The Big One, 700 WLW. I just intercepted a let me try that again. Scott Sloan, The Big One, 700 WLW. It's my first day ever on the radio. Segs by with sports in just seconds. We have Monday Night Football and American League Divisional Series going on, that and many other things. But I've just intercepted a communique here intended for Bill Beauchere, host of the Cy Zone on the weekends. President should use oregano instead of U.S. Army to win the war on bird flu. I don't know how oregano is going to wipe out the avian flu. But in this case, maybe the way to fight off circumcision is to sprinkle oregano on your genitals if you're a boy. I don't know if that'll... More on that one this week, and I'm sure with Bill Beauchere's inside the size of them. Yeah, that's what the cure for the flu is. Get a big jar of oregano. Just sprinkle that over the whole country. It takes care of things. You need a little extra... Don't worry about these mutating viruses. Get you some oregano. A little basil, maybe. Go Italian on it. MGM bill. It's the bill now that is for the second time has been passed over by the United States Congress. No one wants to touch this bill because it reeks of religious intolerance. MGM standing for male genital mutilation. And we want to outlaw circumcision in the United States of America. I'm not so for outlawing it, but from my perspective, it makes no sense. I mean, why get it done? It just seems like a useless procedure. The only reason you get it done is because you don't want your boy to be teased in the locker room. But boys will get teased in the locker room for various other things. There's no shortage of teasing going on in the locker room. If you don't get teased about your penis, you're going to get teased about something else. That is part of being in the locker room. The solution to not being teased when you're a kid, when you're a boy, is simply to stay out of the locker room, as opposed to having your penis sliced off. Joe in Linwood, 700 WLW. Hello, Joe.
God. What's up, Bub?
How you doing, brother?
Man, this whole deal. You know, the reason why they do that, the basic reason, is something the hospital can charge you.
Well, that's my contention. It's all about money, right?
Yeah, who gives a rat's tail if you're done or not?
No.
The whole issue is they tell you, well, it's got to be done, you know, blah, blah, blah. So, okay, sure, whatever.
I don't even think they say it needs to be done. I think it's just like in the stack of paperwork.
Let me tell you, I was done. I have a 22-year-old son. He was done. I have a 5-year-old son. He's been done. Who cares? Who really freaking cares? And if, in all honesty, if you read the book, that if you peel that skin back and you clean, you're a good guy. If you don't, you're going to get dirty.
Well, you have enough people who are circumcised that don't wash their ass as it is, so what's the difference?
Yeah.
I mean, I work with, like, that drives about 70% of the people at the Big One. I don't know if they're clipped or not, but all you got to do is get a sponge.
But here's my beef right now. If I didn't just hear something on the news about this deal with schools wanting to go to a 4-day, who's going to watch a kid on the 5th? What's that going to do to people like myself who barely can make ends meet as it is?
Well, they're telling you that they go to a 4-day school week. I actually plan on talking about this at a later date, but a 4-day school week is so that you can go and get your stuff done, like doctor's appointments, dentist appointments, and everything else. And I laugh at that. That's stupid because same people are going to schedule every... You can't have every kid schedule their doctor's appointment on a Friday. Kids are still going to have to go on a Tuesday and a Wednesday,
that's
so you're going to take two days off of
them. That's why it's impossible to get an appointment at 4:35 o'clock, because everybody's doing it. I cannot afford to take off one day, let alone, you know, do what I mean, maybe a half day, so what? But, you know, that's my beef, Scott, and that's Joe from Living. I'm telling you, I'm going to keep calling in with my beef.
You got your beef, Joe.
Talking about.
I love it when you called in fired up, Joe.
All right.
I love it when you called in fired up. That's good. So, he will talk about his cut beef pretty much every night on this show at 513-749-7000. Pound 700, Singular Wireless, 1-800, the Big One. Todd and Elwood, are you a cut man or a non-cut man?
I would say I'm cut.
You are the cut man, okay.
I would have to disagree with the gentleman from St. Bernard, even though I'm a mile north from him. I'm very glad you had this show. We have a 6-year-old son. He was cut. He experienced complications, and he had to be recut at the age of 6.
I'm going to say that the older you are, the worse that procedure is.
It was, I would probably say it was more painful for me than it was for him.
If you left it to say, make that decision when you're old enough to make that decision, whether you want to be circumcised or not, let's say 18, you would have maybe like a 1% circumcision rate in this country.
I would probably agree with
you. Because ain't no guy over the, all it takes is getting hit in the coins one time with a ball. And then you go, okay, I don't want anything else going on there. Sharp instruments, I wear a cup all the time. You ain't going anywhere near that with this, and this being a sharp instrument.
Yeah, as far as the house bill, I kind of have an issue forcing it on people. If they still want to do it because of religious beliefs, I don't think it's that fair to the infant, but in some cases they're much older. If it's a choice for any new fathers, I would say do your research and make an educated decision, because the only thing the hospital is going to tell you is clipped, unclipped.